to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. At the present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. The word guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna or Krishna consciousness, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Shri Bhagavan Mantra Padeshake Guru Vityardaha. So, Om Ganata Mirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So yesterday we were discussing in this light, and we also read that verse, the same verse yesterday. We were discussing about the 26 qualities of the Vaishnavas, since that's what this verse is about, specifically in reference to Srila Prahlad Maharaj, who exhibited all 26 qualities. And yesterday we talked about being very kind to everyone. So that was just the first quality. We're going to go over all 26 qualities of the Vaishnavas. The second quality is he does not make anyone his enemy. Of course, this is also described about Maharaj Yudhisthira, Ajata Shatruva. He's called Ajata Shatru. That means he whose enemy is never born. Of course, many people did consider Yudhisthira Maharaj to be their enemy. That's interesting. Because people who are in the modes of nature, especially the modes of passion and ignorance, they see in terms of friends and enemies. In other words, if you're in passion, then a friend of yours is someone who fulfills your desires. And if you're in ignorance, you know, enemy business usually comes in terms of ignorance. Of course, in passion you have competitors. But when you actually start to consider someone to be an enemy, and in other words, hate actually comes from ignorance. It doesn't come from passion. Passion, you're just competing with someone. But when you go down to ignorance, you actually hate someone. Now, it's very interesting how we see, even amongst devotees, and I'm using that term in a very wide sense, a broad sense, how we see, even amongst devotees, sometimes there are people who hate each other. And they look at each other with staring eyes, like knives coming out of the eyes. I've seen that many times. And actually, you know, I come in contact with people, even though I'm nice to them, the knives come out of their eyes. So the reason for that is not that that contradicts what's being mentioned here about the qualities of a Vaishnava, is that in the sense of the word Vaishnava, when we're talking about these 26 qualities, we're talking about pure Vaishnavas. We're not talking about aspiring Vaishnavas, Kanishtha Adhikaris, or as Lord Kapiladev mentions in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavas, or devotees, let's say, who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. And Lord Kapiladev mentions that devotional service and devotees in the mode of passion and ignorance are envious, proud, you know, fault-finding. These qualities become manifest because they're still influenced by the modes of nature. Of course, we do find in the Bhagavad Gita this interesting verse, mam chiyo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sivate sagunan samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in devotional service, vyabhicharena, and that's an interesting expression here by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Like means, vyabhichari means like very focused devotional service. Mam chiyo vyabhicharena avachari bhakti, then that person transcends the modes of nature. So being focused in devotional service means that one has to 24 hours a day be engaged in devotional service. It's not that sometimes we engage in devotional service, sometimes we engage in something else. Like someone goes to the workplace and they check in for a certain number of hours a day, and then the rest of the day, after they get home, you know, they do something else. But vyavachari bhakti means anyavi lashatashunyam jnanakaram anavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktarutamam, which basically means devotional service performed without any ulterior motive, subtle, gross, liberation, and devotional service performed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his desire. So this is the definition given by Srila Rupa Goswami. So if one is engaged in devotional service like that, and also it has to be favorable, of course we mentioned that, according to Krishna's desire, not unfavorable, just like we see Kamsa was engaged in unfavorable devotional service, then these qualities manifest. Otherwise, you'll see some mixture of the modes of nature in different devotees in terms of friends and enemies. You know, you'll see it that some devotees will actually hate other devotees, won't be able to see their faces, or, you know, this, I've seen this again and again and again. Or they'll find fault in the name of devotional service, thinking their fault-finding is actually bhakti. This is quite an interesting phenomenon that occurs, of course, nowadays. It occurs primarily on the internet. Because when one posts things on the internet, one feels that they do not have to be personally responsible for what they post. There's sort of a disconnect. When one is physically, corporally present before someone else, there's more of a sense of responsibility. When you're talking on the phone, there's a little bit less sense of responsibility. So you can say to someone on the phone, you know, you're a creep, I don't like you, don't let me see your face again. And then on the internet, and then so the more removed you become from the body language and tone of voice, the more tendency there is to disconnect yourself or disconnect yourself from the responsibility of what you're saying. It's quite interesting. So in other words, there's many things that we would say on the internet we wouldn't say in person to someone's face. So we should be ready, a devotee should be ready to say something to someone's face. Of course, we should follow the principles listed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Satya Priyatam, speaking truthfully, pleasingly, and beneficially. So to not make anyone your enemy means basically that you're seeing that they can't interfere with your life. You know, because we usually make people our enemies because we think that they're actually doing something, impeding either our spiritual progress or our material progress. But no one's capable of doing that. No one is capable of doing that. Just like the story of Adharma the bull, when he was being attacked by the personality of Kali, naturally any of us would think that Kali is our enemy. You know, the person who was attacking us, the person who was cutting our legs, like he was cutting the bull's legs. But the bull understood that the personality of Kali was not his enemy. He was not actually the one who was responsible for those activities. It was actually Krishna's arrangement. So if we see something, either, like I said before, either impeding spiritual progress, we think it's impeding. Actually, there is no question of impeding spiritual progress because ahaitukiya pratyita yatna supersedate, according to Krishna in the Gita, in the Bhagavatam, sorry, savaipum sam para dharma yato bhakti yahoksaje, ahaitukiya pratyita yatna supersedate. That devotional service can never be impeded by any material consideration, nor can it be impelled by any material consideration. In other words, it's causeless, ahaituki, and a pratyata, it cannot be stopped by anyone or anything. It's not that you are ruining my devotional service. I mean, you hear this sometimes. That you are ruining my devotional service. Who's ruining your devotion? You're ruining your own devotional service by your activities, desires, you're doing that. So in other words, what anyone does, they can't even act as your enemy. Because it's always Krishna's arrangement for your purification, to test you. I mean, we have so many tests, and someone may be doing something that apparently is impeding us, but is actually a test. And in fact, even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's this statement, of course it's from the Vedic literatures, he who criticizes me is my friend. And in other words, criticizing means that you may sort of think that the person is hurting you or impeding you or causing you problems with your reputation. I mean, for example, in the Indian society, there's a great stress in reputation, isn't there? You know, there's people go crazy because someone says something about them in public. And actually, it's an interesting thing. In Indian society, there's more talking behind people's back, too. Not only is there great stress in reputation, or not having a bad reputation, but there's actually more prajalpa than many, practically almost any other culture. You know, blah, 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 blah. But a devotee, if something happens to his reputation, of course, he wants to preach, so he's careful about his reputation. But if something happens, he takes this as an opportunity to become a little detached from this world. For example, Maharaj Rishabhadev, he deliberately ruined his reputation. How did he deliberately ruin his reputation? He performed this process of yoga called Jada Yoga. Jada Yoga means become like a stone, or Avaduta Yoga or something like that. That he just walked around naked. I mean, how bad can your reputation become if you start walking around naked and lying in your own stool? I mean, that's... Can you imagine on Facebook, you know? Here is Maharaj, you know. He's become a Nagababa, and he's lying in his own stool. So Rishabhadev, he did that automatically, or not automatically, he did that deliberately, so that he would exhibit how one should accept detachment from this material world. Because actually, Vairagya is one of the important qualities that a Vaishnava aspires for. As it's described about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya describes this. He says, Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga, Shiksharta Eka, Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shavira, Dari Kripam Budhir Yastvam Aham Prapadye. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you've come to teach us Vairagya. So if somehow or other someone impedes our reputation, then we're thinking, wow, he or she is helping me become detached from this world. Or someone treats us roughly. Of course, as far as Krishna treating us roughly, we actually always love him, regardless of what he does, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if someone treats us roughly, it just helps us overcome, and we feel some pain in the heart. Of course, when someone gives us harsh words, that's even more painful than a knife in the heart. But when someone treats us roughly, we actually think, wow, this is Krishna's arrangement. I can just take shelter of Krishna's name, because previously I was taking shelter in so many other things in this world. So many other things, you know, this mundane society, friendship and love, you know, someone loves me. I mean, people have taken shelter in these... of course, Vaishnava loving exchanges are nice, but people have taken shelter in the material aspect of the relationship. Even with Vaishnavas, you know, we exchange, we have a relationship with the Vaishnavas because we're trying to get something out of it. That's not a spiritual aspect of the relationship. A relationship with Vaishnavas is that we're trying to serve the other Vaishnavas, not that we're trying to think, how can you, you know, give me my warm and fuzzies? And you better get a dog. Of course, there's danger in getting a dog, too, because then you become a dog in your next life. Because whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, that's what happens. So the point is, we should always be thinking of serving. And if someone says something very harsh, and it will happen. I mean, actually, one thing Prabhupada said that we're all devotees from different backgrounds. And what that means, backgrounds means cultures and ethnic groups, things like that, that communication is going to be very difficult because people have different styles of communication. People have even different, let's say, body space, you know, between each other. Like in India, the body space is just like so small. If someone puts their nose right by your eye, that's like the typical space in India. Whereas in the West, I remember I was just talking to one devotee, and they weren't from India, but they had spent so much time in India that they kept moving closer to me as they were talking to me, and I kept moving my chair backwards to get away from them. It was a lady, even, and you know, just, and it, you know, fortunately there wasn't a wall there, so I had to keep moving back, and I kept moving forward. So there's different cultures, and when we join the Krishna Conscious Movement, we are coming from all these different parts of the world. I mean, even here in this room, we have people from Mexico, people from Finland, someone from India, from Gujarat. And even if you're from Gujarat, you relate differently than people from Uttar Pradesh. And so when you have all this mixture, there's bound to be miscommunication. And, you know, people are coming from, some people come from dysfunctional childhoods where their mother beat or father beat them to a pulp, or they had some trauma in their past. So there's bound to be some sort of miscommunication and pain in the relationships between the devotees. Because, you know, we're still identifying with our past culture. As they say, you know, Krishna West, Krishna India, Krishna Chinese, Krishna Jewish. So anyway, so because of that, it's actually a test. That's funny. So it's actually a test to see whether we're seeing Krishna behind all these things, whether we can relate to each other. Like Prabhupada said, your love will be tested by how you work cooperatively with each other. And it is a real test. It is a real test, and things are going to be painful. But we have to be careful not to have enemy images of others. You know, enemy of images means we actually give someone a derogatory name in our minds, in our hearts. Oh, he's an idiot, he's agitated, he's, you know, whatever. So that's actually how we come to the point of not considering someone to be our enemy. So that's number two. Number three, truthful. A devotee always has to tell the truth. Of course, telling the truth means we have to tell it, as we mentioned before, according to the Bhagavad Gita, pleasingly and beneficially. It's not that we should say something that's going to actually impede someone's spiritual progress, because that's called violence. It's not that we should say something that would offend someone. Oftentimes I give the example that if you have an ugly person, you don't go out and blurt out, "Are you ugly?" If someone asks, you know, "How do I look?" you'll just say, "You have a nice personality." So you don't, in other words, you don't offend people, but you always tell the truth. Except in cases where you're protecting people. Let's say, you know, the typical example given in the Mahabharata is that once upon a time there was a sage, and he was meditating in his ashram, and he always took a vow to tell the truth, and people were hiding from some dacoits in his ashram. The dacoits tried to find the people, and the dacoits asked the sage, you know, "Are the people there?" And the sage said, "I cannot tell a lie. They're there." And the dacoits killed the people, and the sage was actually responsible. So there's certain cases, such as in the Mahabharata, where Krishna directly tells you, or it's, you know, it's a no-brainer. No-brainer means it's obvious. You're supposed to just lie in that case to protect someone's life. Then that's all right. But generally, in most circumstances, because once you tell a lie, this is actually an important point. Once you're caught in a lie, then people will not trust you anymore. That's it. You know, once someone catches you stealing, lying, cheating, then the trust is broken. From then on, the person will be thinking that this person could be lying. So Srila Prabhupada always told the truth. I mean, this is in regard to something that I mentioned before, that sometimes people say that Prabhupada did a particular or said a particular thing as a preaching strategy. I mean, of course, we're referring to the discussion about where the soul came from before the soul popped into this world. And Prabhupada, of course, said that we were originally Krishna conscious living entities. He didn't go into detail as far as what that meant. Prabhupada said that you cannot understand. But we were originally Krishna conscious living entities. It's not that we were un-Krishna conscious, not we popped into being at some particular point. We're eternal, nitya nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahonam, yovadadati kama. So, and therefore, Prabhupada said that we fell from the spiritual realm. And so Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada is not going to change the philosophy, change the Siddhanta as a preaching tactic. I mean, he could have done a lot of things to change the Siddhanta and gotten a lot more followers and people, but he just told the truth all the time. And you see, you know, sometimes that even agitated people when Prabhupada just told the truth. And Prabhupada made many what would be considered nowadays politically incorrect statements. You know, nowadays, of course, people talk about PC language. PC language means politically correct language. And of course, there's one politician who's saying things politically incorrect right now and also untruthful. I'm not going to mention who that is because it'd be impious to mention his name in Bhagavatam class. But Prabhupada was also speaking things that were beneficial, but he was always being truthful. It's not that he said to a Mayavadi, you know, I'm all right, you're all right. I remember Prabhupada giving a class in Los Angeles when I was there. And Prabhupada was referring to this Mayavadi statement, yato mat tatopat, yato tatopat tatam, yato mat tatopat. Where, I think it's from Vivekananda, where he says, I'm okay, you're okay, you know, everything's all right. And Prabhupada also referred to this one book that was written about transactional analysis. And some of you from the 1960s may remember this. And the name of the book was, I'm okay, you're okay. And Prabhupada said, we say, I'm okay, you're not okay. That was Prabhupada's statement. So Prabhupada was always truthful and also sometimes cutting. He got that mood from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who always would be very heavy in dealing with Mayavadis. And even his own disciples criticized the guru sometimes for being so heavy, for being truthful. So Vaishnava always has to tell the truth. Of course, as I said, sometimes we don't say something because it will offend someone. You know, just like yesterday, I was talking to my mother. And my mother mentioned how she was going to go and buy some unmentionable thing to eat. So, I mean, I could have said, this is Maya, you're going to become a fish in your next life. Instead, I just turned my face away from the phone and went, yuck. I didn't say anything to her. But if she had asked me, is it all right to eat fish, I would have said no. You can become a fish. So sometimes we just don't say something. That's all right. You know, discretion is the better part of valor. Okay. Next one is, number four is, he is equal to everyone. And this, we should discuss this to a certain extent. I mean, equal doesn't mean he acts the same as everybody, with everybody. That is not equality. Because Krishna is equal too. Krishna says in the Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, Name Dveshosti Napriha. He says, I am equal to everyone. No one is a friend to me. No one is my enemy. But then he says, whoever renders service to me is in me and I am in him. So in other words, it's like the verse in the fourth chapter of the Gita, Yeyatamam Prapachante Tam Siddhaiva Bachamiham. Mamavart manuvartante manushapartha sarvashah. That Krishna reciprocates. As someone approaches him, he reciprocates accordingly. So us being equal to everyone, or Vaishnava being equal to everyone, means that we act with everyone, not considering whether in friends and enemies, but considering what's good for the person. That's the equality. With everyone, everyone we interact with, we think, what is the best thing I can do for that person? If one is interacting with someone superior, then what is the best service I can render to that person? If one is interacting with someone equally, what is the best method of expressing the friendship with a person? If one is interacting with someone who is lower spiritually, how can I bring this person to Krishna consciousness? And that one has to have the discrimination to understand how to act differently in each case to bring the person to Krishna consciousness. For one person, it may be just giving him some prasadam. For another person, it may mean chastising him or her because they're in Maya. Another person, it may mean giving them a book or inviting them to some program. So equality doesn't mean equal action. It means equal mentality in terms of how can I serve you? That's the equality. How can I serve you? Yes, because we're serving even the non-devotees, bringing them to Krishna. What is the best method? Whenever we see as someone, we should be thinking, how can I help that person spiritually? And then analyzing the person's psychophysical nature, analyzing the person's advancement in devotional service, and then acting accordingly, as Srila Prabhupada did. So Prabhupada was expert in acting equally and also acting in a magnanimous fashion. So the next one is, no one can find any fault in him. And that's interesting. Because a devotee is faultless. In other words, whatever he does is to please Krishna. So people will find fault, but it is not a fault. That's why it says, because even when people think they're finding fault, that is not actually a fault in a Vaishnava. People try to find fault in Krishna. They say, you know, Krishna, he told a lie in the battle of Kurukshetra. So from a material concept, a material point of view, that was a fault. And Krishna promised he wasn't going to fight. And he interfered with the battle protecting Arjuna. So that's a fault. But from a higher spiritual perspective, it's not a fault. Or even from a moral or ethical perspective, because he was protecting his devotee Arjuna and helping Arjuna defeat the miscreants. So that's not a fault. Of course, it depends on what level you're at, whether you see something as being a fault or something as not being a fault. I mean, just like Srila Prabhupada, let's give the example of Prabhupada. Prabhupada tried his best to make his family Krishna conscious, and then one day he just said, hasta la vista. Of course, he didn't say hasta la vista, but he just left. So, I mean, from a material perspective, you say, huh? Why didn't he stay with his family? That's a fault. But from a higher perspective, that's not a fault. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, look at what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He left his young wife and mother. His mother was and his wife were completely dependent on him, wasn't it? Weren't they? I mean, how old was his wife? She was like 16 or something like that. 16 or 17. So, wow. I mean, come on. You know, you read about that in the newspaper. Someone gets married and then a few days later leaves his poor mother and wife. You know, that's a real fault, isn't it? But then from a higher perspective, it's not a fault. First of all, he's God. He was able to protect them even though he wasn't present. He was able to give his association even though he wasn't present. I mean, it's a spiritual principle. And the same thing with Srila Prabhupada taking sannyas. So, you know, sometimes devotees do something from a material perspective that may cause them to be criticized, but actually they're acting for a higher reason. Even Lord Chaitanya, let's talk about the story about Lord Chaitanya rejecting Junior Haridas. Junior Haridas did something, I still can't figure out what he did wrong, basically. just something little, innocent. If all of us had to be rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because we begged some rice or some pakoras or some avocados from some lady, then we'd all be jumping into the tree maining. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him, and then he basically left his body. He wouldn't see him for practically a whole year. And so, wow, why is Lord Chaitanya so mean to do this? But there was a higher principle. The higher principle was to set an example. Higher principle also that it was a pastime. And secondly, Juna Haridas attained Lord Chaitanya's association in a very pure spiritual body and was able to chant for Lord Chaitanya. So you see things from a different perspective. It's no longer a fault. It just depends on the perspective you see it from, whether you determine it to be a fault. So actually, you cannot find a fault in Prabhupada. You can find something you think is a fault, but it is not actually a fault in Srila Prabhupada, because it's just different perspectives. Next one. It's interesting, the discussion of all these 26 qualities. Next one, he is magnanimous. Magnanimous means he's just giving to everybody. He's just an ocean of mercy. We're talking about Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatu rubhyascha kripa sindhu. He's an ocean of compassion. In other words, he's doing it in a causeless way. He's just, without any getting anything in reciprocation, he gives out Krishna's mercy, so that's magnanimous. Next one is, he is mild. That's also interesting, too. Mild means he does not succumb to anger. So why is someone not mild? Someone is not mild because they're getting angry. And so a devotee naturally controls, what is it, vacho vegam, manasakrota vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam. And when you control these things, you're not going to get angry. But a devotee will get angry when it's for someone's benefit, but he's not controlled by anger. He'll use anger. He won't be used by anger. See, that's the difference between us and a pure devotee. A pure devotee is actually controls his emotions and uses his emotions and uses his anger to serve Krishna. Like Arjuna used his anger. I mean, how can you say Arjuna was mild? Of course, he tried to be materially mild in the beginning of the discussion of the Gita. He says, I'm not going to fight. And Krishna encouraged him to fight. But still, even though he was fighting, he was mild because it wasn't something that he was doing out of a personal vendetta. Whereas on the other hand, you have Karna. Karna was engaged according to his personal vendetta. What was his personal vendetta? He was trying to prove himself better than Arjuna. Whereas Arjuna fighting with Karna, there was not that intention. Arjuna was not thinking, let me prove myself better than Karna. I mean, some competitive spirit, of course. But he wasn't doing it out of vengefulness. So when one is not vengeful, one is not controlled by anger, then one is considered mild, peaceful. The next one, number 8, and that's the last one we'll do today. He is always clean. Of course, Prabhupada would comment on that during the Brahminical initiation. He said, a Vaishnava, a Brahmin is clean inside, outside. Both things are important. Inside by, we say, bathing thrice daily, if not possible, 2 times daily, cleaning your hands. I remember when I first joined the movement, we were taught to clean our feet before eating and after eating. In fact, there was a sink in the prasadam room, and everybody would put their feet in, you know, the regular high sink. So some other, we'd step on one leg and bring one foot up into the sink, and then another foot up into the sink. Not both at the same time. That would be impossible. But, you know, and clean the feet. And then we have a big bucket in the prasadam room where there'd be cloth, and you clean up right where you ate. I mean, Prabhupada was very insistent upon that. You clean where you eat after you eat. And that's a Brahmin. Prabhupada said a Brahmin leaves a place cleaner than when he got there. If you're leaving a place dirtier, you're not a Brahmin. Brahmin means clean, suci. And of course, inside, Yaksmarat Pundarikaksham Savaya Avyantara Suci Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. Always remembering Krishna. Okay, so you see how long we can speak about all these 26 qualities. Actually, Sesrup Maharaj actually wrote a book about the 26 qualities of Vaishnava. But we're giving a little bit different angles on them right now.